This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, hi everyone, it's Simon Smart. This week I'm bringing you an interview with Trevor Thomas, the Managing Director of Eth Invest. Last time we looked at what ethical investment means and why Trevor Thomas thinks it can make a really positive environmental and social impact. Well, there are more and more people who are interested in investing in ways that are not harmful to the environment, for instance, or they don't want to support companies that engage in socially negative practices. It's not straightforward, though, and Trevor Thomas helps people wade through some of the complexities inherent in this business.
It's very complex, and some people say, look, it's so complex that I don't think I can do it. It's too hard, so I won't even think about it. My approach would be more like you start with what you can measure and control and do well in, and then you gradually expand the tent so that you try and do more and more to be increasingly responsible. It's easier to do that than it was. There's much more research and people following through supply chains. There's many more companies now that are looking at supply chain management, not just from a financial point of view, but also from labour standards and environmental standards. And so there's a lot more information than there used to be, but it's complicated, and supply chains are long and cross many boundaries and involve many steps. So it's a case of trying to look for those companies that have credibility in the way that they manage their actions in countries where there's good reporting, and look at what they're doing in the developing world in particular. There's complexity even in Australia. You get companies that are doing some very positive things, but also pop up on the radar for doing some things that people are complaining about. Property developers can be doing amazing work in the terms of sustainable building, passive solar in their designs, water and energy efficiency, a whole range of things. But they may also be developing land that's considered sensitive or subject to community opposition, like the Barangaroo project in Sydney at the moment, for example.
So you have to be prepared to accept a bit of grey in this.
The larger a company gets, the more likely it is to have those areas of grey. And so it becomes a question of what are the absolutes, and what will you have no interest in investing in, and where each individual investor will draw the line. Now, the problem for a fund manager who's trying to attract the money of Joe Public is that you've got to have some very clear criteria, and you're constantly making decisions about whether you think it's in or out, whether it's light grey or dark grey, and those sorts of things. The beauty of the approach that we take is to work with individual investors to make individual decisions about their own portfolio. So we can tell the client, Woolworths has a large interest in Queensland pubs which own over 10,000 poker machines. Is that an issue for you?
Well, how do you then go about defining what is ethical?
We see that our role is to ask questions and to try and understand what motivates people and what their values are. Now, as a Christian, obviously there are Christian values that inform my decisions, and I have clients who are Christians and clients who are Buddhists and clients who don't have any religious belief. There's a lot of commonality around social justice and the environment, a lot of common concerns, but there are points of difference.
At a more personal level then, what are the ways you would decide for yourself, say, in terms of ethical investing?
Well, I think it's the same that I try and apply to all my economic decisions, when I'm in the supermarket, buying things, when I'm giving money away, when I'm investing it. What are the sorts of activities and what are the ramifications of my decisions? What are the activities that I'm actually supporting? And am I happy with that? Or do I have a clean conscience? So often the cheapest things in the supermarket are the most exploitative, those that have worked the least amount of money and spent the least amount of time doing remediating any environmental impact of the production. So it tends to push you into asking questions about how things are produced, but also going up the value chain, and you tend to buy things that are more expensive. And the same sort of thing applies to investments. You're looking at investments in quality companies that really do look after their staff and really do think about the environmental impacts of what they're doing. And where there are negative impacts, try and remediate or offset those in meaningful ways.
What might you be hoping to do as you either invest or, as you said, involve yourself in broader questions?
Certainly there's issues around justice and poverty. I think that job creation in the developing world is a great thing. And I think companies that have supply chains that extend in the developing world are doing great things for poor people, but we want to make sure that children who are at work also have the opportunity to go to school and do those sorts of things. We want to make sure that people are not effectively indentured slaves in factories, but they do have access to a livelihood, but also to a life. investment in companies that are making our environment better rather than worse. So lots of people are very happy to invest in recycling companies. So 95% less greenhouse intensive to recycle metal than it is to mine ore. So there is a sense in which more aggressive recycling reduces landfill, means that you've got materials that can be reused and you've got a good greenhouse outcome as well. Health and education, health research, lots of people want to put money into renewable energy research and health research, and there are companies that have got lines of business that are profitable but are also doing some of that research, and so they can be good investments as well.
To what degree is people of faith part of the push towards this ethical investing?
In the early days of ethical investment, it was really the churches and religious organisations, people of faith, who were the most vocal about the sorts of things that they wanted to include and exclude, more particularly exclude. The so-called sin stocks were excluded traditionally by churches with investment portfolios and communities of faith who had investable funds. Tobacco, alcohol, gaming, pornography, those sorts of issues completely excluded from portfolios, and anything else was potentially in. And that was really significant and continues to be a significant proportion of the ethical investment market. What's happened over the last 15 or 20 years is people have started asking questions about, well, what can we do for change? How can we promote change? How can we do things more positively, not just avoid the negatives? What can we actually do that creates jobs that are meaningful? What can we do that enhances the environment, just doesn't destroy it?
Well, that's Managing Director of Ethinvest, Trevor Thomas. I hope you can join me next time as we begin to discuss consumerism, markets, and economic justice for the poor. I'll see you then.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.